Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. This is now the 18th in a series that we have called Come, Let Us Reason Together, and we are doing what is called Bible appreciation for reading the Bible. We won't call this studying the Scriptures, but reading them and gathering the Scriptures together, and especially reading them in the light of the full context. In one of these times, we will spend a whole tape on Ivan Panin, who translated the New Testament and gave us the context or the full thought. You'll get something very close to that with your New American Standard Bible. You look at where the dark number is, and that's the beginning of the context, and the next dark number is the beginning of the next context, and they're pretty close to the Ivan Panins. So you're reading not just one verse, you're reading it in the light of that full context. And of course, it never hurts to read a whole chapter and especially read the whole book so you can see who the author, like Paul, who he's talking to and why he is saying what he's saying and so on. Not only do you read a context, but if you are inclined, I would sure suggest that you sit down and read your Bible this year, cover to cover, and then do it again next year and never quit doing it, because it says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these will fail. Not one will lack its mate. This is also the sixth. We started in number 13, show number 13, in a series called The Alpha and the Omega. God, of course, he's the author and finisher of our faith. He begins and ends our salvation. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega in the book of Revelation, but then he says, who is, who was, and is to come. I also have seen in the Scriptures that he's not only there for us at the beginning, and I made a statement, and I think it's actually kind of funny in a way, but very true, that he's not going to just say, well, see you at the end, you know, good luck, hope you make it. He is going to be there for us all along the way, even for the unbeliever, the person that doesn't trust in God. It says he is not far from each one of us. But you will not grope after God and just stumble into him. You must seek after him. You must ask, seek, and you must knock. Well, the next thing that we're going to look into is the repentance. This is something you must do. It even comes before faith. I'm going to give you a challenge. If you look up every place faith and repentance are found together in the Bible, you will always, and unless you can show me differently, but I have looked for 30-some years, I've always found repentance before faith. I'll give you one. Here's a free one. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the word faith, pistis or pietho. It is metanaos, change your mind. That's where we're going to start with. The Greek meta, which is after or change, and naos, the mind. A word neurosurgery comes from naos, change your mind. Let's get started. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7 in particular. But let's just read the whole context. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? and your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, God is talking, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I send it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up, and instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. The main verse is, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Repentance is threefold. Let the wicked forsake his way, what he does, what we do, little word, do. The unrighteous man is to forsake his thoughts, what we're thinking. So what our hands do, what our mind thinks. Remember, the mark of the beast is going to be on the forehead or on the hands. And let him return unto the Lord. And why? Because God will abundantly pardon. His ways and his thoughts are high above our ways and our thoughts. Okay, the next place where we're going to look for repentance is Luke 24, 44 through 49 is the penance context. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, and all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. It did not say faith. Now listen, my friend, I'm not saying we are not to teach faith, but we are to teach the changing of our minds first. Repentance is before faith. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. And then, of course, faith. Now, faith is a huge. If you look at repentance in the Bible compared to faith, it's a big study. And we've done both of them. And we will not take one ounce away from faith. But repentance comes first. It's kind of a lost thing. It's a forgotten thing to be talked about today, that repentance, this is Jesus' last instructions, that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. And I'm proclaiming it today in New Mexico and in the United States. Anybody driving through on Interstate 40 or going north and south on Interstate 25, repent for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name, in Jesus' name, to all the nations beginning from Albuquerque. How about that? From Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And then what happened in the book of Acts? They were all together with one accord in one place, and suddenly a sound as a mighty rushing wind filled the place where they were, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So he told them first they had to change their mind. Then he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. The main verses is 47, and we read that, okay? Now we're going to go to Acts 2:38, and the context is 37 through 42. Now when they heard this, in verse 37, we're going to read 37 through 42 of Acts 2. What do they hear? Well, let's drop back to another context. Let's look at verse 36. We'll start in 34, and the full context actually starts back in verse 14, according to Pannon. But we'll start, for right now, we'll start with 34. But it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Know this for certain, that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. I repeated it for a reason. This is something that we must all know for certain. Not that Jesus is just my Savior, but he has come to be my Lord, the pilot. Get in the back of the plane. He is not a co-pilot. If we want salvation, Jesus is the pilot. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, metanoos, change your mind, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, that's koinonia, to breaking of bread, and prayer. Koinonia is communion, you see. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were cut right to the heart. The message of God should cut to the heart. Repentance must be from the heart. This is not mental. This is not something you mentally, logically say, "Well, God is good, I must be saved." It must be deeper than that, my friend. Repentance is from the heart. And they were cut to the heart. And they said, "What shall we do?" Look at that word "do." It's one of the smaller words of the Bible, but I would say it is one of the highest in importance for you, my friend. And for me, I won't eliminate myself. Me too, number one. Then, through my experiences, I'm telling you what I found out for me, that I had to do something. Not everyone that says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 7, but he that does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and in your name done many wonderful works?" I'm quoting this off the top of my head, so I think I've got it pretty close. And then he will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Why? Because they didn't do it. Not everyone that says to me, "Lord, Lord," that just says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth or does the will of the Father who is in heaven. So they said, "What shall we do?" And the first thing Peter said was, "Change your mind." And then the second thing he said was to be baptized, and not into a church, into the name of Jesus Christ. And why? For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as many as received him, received his word were baptized in verse 41. But we're just concentrating right now on repentance, because unless there is repentance, even baptism, why get baptized if repentance is not from the heart? Why believe if repentance is not from the heart? And we'll get into this. The first thing every man must do is make sure his heart is right. And the only way that we can do this is the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return unto the Lord. Jesus, when he started his ministry, started with repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist, who went before Jesus, said, repent, change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Get your mind ready. Don't let your mind be hard like a stone. Let your mind be malleable like gold. Let it be workable by God, repentant, changeable by God. And did you know in verse 42, the order in which they got together, they continued on? And we tried this in our fellowships, and there used to be people that fell asleep, and this is back in the 1970s, and we corrected and did this order. We used to eat first and then do the teaching and so on. But when we turned it around and did the teaching first, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, which is koinonia or communion, to the breaking of bread and prayer. When we changed those two things around and did the teaching first and then the fellowship, nobody has fallen asleep since. Isn't that amazing? This is during the Lord's Supper. It's all there. Everything we need to do is in the scriptures. In verse 42, if you are having fellowship, do it in the Lord's order. Believe me, my friend, it works. Jesus is there. It says, wherever two or more are gathered together in his name, the Lord Jesus is in our midst. And let's do things his way. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. By the way, it's his supper. It's his table. I just thought about that. When we are invited as a guest to a person's house, we sit down and do it their way. Then we go to the house where Jesus is the master. When we have dinner with him, he is the master. And another thing you might think about when you have dinner together with the Lord, since the Lord is ahead, sit in a circle where you can't tell who the head is and make Jesus the head. Jesus hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And I heard a local teacher teach on it, and he was pretty close. You know that? And I haven't heard that before. And I'll give him credit for bringing that up. Nico, conquer, laity, the people. We are not to be lords over the people. So we are to be servants under. He says, the Gentiles love to exercise authority over the people. Do not let it be that way among you. Let him that is first, let him become last. And he that wants to be Lord, let him become servant of all. And you see, then the Lord will be the Lord. It'll be his table, not one of ours. The next place we're going to read about repentance is Acts chapter 3. Context is 11 to 26. While he was clinging to Peter and John, this is the man that was healed. He'd never walked in his life. He was 40 years old, and he went walking and leaping and praising God when they lifted him up. They didn't knock him over. They lifted him up. And while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. And when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we have made him to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him." You know, they say the Jews killed Jesus. Jesus was a Jew, so Anyway, I don't know what some people that are so mad at the Jews, but Jesus was a Jew. Come on. I've never gotten that argument. So anyway, they denied one of their own. The Jews killed their own, but it wasn't all the Jews. So this argument does not wash too well. Anyway, they put they disowned the holy, the righteous one, and asked a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man, the name of Jesus, whom you see. It has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance just as your rulers did also. God is so forgiving, and don't hold us always against the Jewish people. Jesus was a Jew. I'm a Jew in my heart. And you have to become, if you're a son of God, you become one of his children, Jewish, Israel. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly. He's one who is one inwardly. And I wasn't there hanging him. Let's not blame anybody. He died for us all. This is the purpose of God. It's not anybody's fault. It is man because of our transgression, but we all needed his death on the cross. And this is not the time to blame anyone. This is the time to grab hold of the hem of his garment, accept his name. There is healing in his name. And he says, I know you acted in ignorance, just as you rulers did also, but the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets that his child would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent, change your mind, and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And likewise, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward have announced these days. It is you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. We were all in need of Jesus' death, his blood, and his resurrection. Let's not blame anybody. This is the remedy. God has given us the cure for our fallen nature. Well, my dear friends, it's time again to say goodbye. Until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth, and may the truth of God set you free.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.